Okay, so we're on Pei-Vav tonight. Pei-Vav 86a. I'll begin three lines from the bottom on Pei-Hei Amud Beis. 85b, three lines from the bottom. Okay, so Rabbi Yehuda Meirim Yesham Tfisat Yad B'chuli. So we said, according to the Tana Rabba, Rabbi Yehuda, and this was an important klal, if the landlord, let's say a person has premises and he's leasing out the premises, he lives there and his tenant lives there, but if the landlord has tfisas yad means the landlord has an object of his own in the tenant's premises, so then the tenant doesn't count like an independent person because the landlord can come in and take his object at any time. Now, there's machloket among the mefarshim whether this means, let's say, if it's just the landlord and the tenant, then they don't have to make any ruvei chatzerot between themselves. But maybe if somebody else is there, then they do have to all join in a Ruvei Chatzerot. Or it might mean, you know, that Bechlal, once you have Tfisas Yad, then the person counts as a non-entity. So let's take a look in the Gemara. So Rabbi Yehuda Meirim Yesham Tfisat Yad V'chulei. So Hechidami Tfisat Yad. So what's, and again, wait a second, with the thing, one minute. Give me 1 second. I want to make sure I got this right. One second. This was the Rabbeinu Yonatan he had quoted, but I just want to make sure I got 31. Right. Okay. So let me see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, so Rabbi Yehuda Meir, Yesham Tfisat Yad B'chulei. So Hechidami Tfisat Yad. What's an example? What's an example Tfisat Yad? Going Chatzir Ushel Bunyas Ben Bunyas. Like the Chatzir Bunyas Ben Bunyas. Bunyas is the landlord. And he had premises and he left his property there. So the Gemara mentions as an aside, Atla Kami de Rebbe, this Bunyas Ben Bunyas came for Rebbe, Amarlu Panuma Komla Ben Meyamana. He says, make room for the person who has Meyamana. Mana is 100 mana, 100 zuz. So Meyamana is 10,000 zuz, which is an exorbitant sum. It was like, make room for like the millionaire, so to speak. And then he says, Ata in a shachrina, another person came. He says, Amar Lahu, Rebbe said to them, Panama kom leben mataimana. Make room. Now, this person had 20,000 zuz, you know, 200 mana. Make room for him. So let me just let somebody else in. So so he says, Amar Lafanav, Rebbe Shmuel Rebbe Yossi. So Rebbe Shmuel Rebbe Yossi said, Rebbe, Aviv Shosei Yeshto El Sino Bayam, Ukenegdan Elifai Ro Bayabasha. This Bunyas Ben Bunyas who came, that you thought he wasn't like such a wealthy person, or he's the 100 mana category, and you thought he's like, you know, relegated to the second tier of people. He says the truth is he's got a ton of money. He says he has a elf sfinot bayam, 1,000 boats at sea, and connected. His father has elf ayirot bayavasha, 1,000 villages on the dry land. And the Maritz Chaya says it's just like a term. It doesn't mean literally he has it. It's borrowed. And he cites it from the Gemara in Masechet Yoma, Daf Lamed Hey. So over there, the Gemara talks of, I think, it'll come to me. But a person, he had a lot of money, and it describes it the same way. So he says, so Amar Lo, he says, when you get to see this Bunyas Ben Bunyas' father, Emorlo, Al Tshigri B'Kinim Alal Lufanai. In other words, Rebbe was misled because Bunyas Ben Bunyas wasn't wearing such nice clothes. So he says, when you see his father, tell him that the son should dress up more nicely so people realize, you know, I guess his station in life. And we'll talk in a minute about this. Then the Gemara says, Rebbe Mechabed Ashirim. Rebbe would be Mechabed, the wealthy people. It's a famous line of the Gemara. Rebbe Akiva Mechabed Ashirim. Rebbe Akiva would also be Mechabed Ashirim. So if you look downstairs in the Gilyon HaShas on the bottom of the page, everybody see it? There's a blurb on the bottom. Gilyon HaShas is from Rebbe Akiva Eger. So it says over there, Belikute Mahariel, Sheshamami Maharam Segal, the Yeshlo Mar Mitosh Rebbe Atzmo Ashir Muflag. Rebbe himself was very wealthy. Lachirgil Atzmo Lachabed Ashirim. So he accustomed himself to be mechabed wealthy people. Kedil Lamed Laham Shechabdu Gam Kain Oto Mishul Asher Veloshvil Torah To. Shlo Ratzal Shemesh BeKitrus Torah Litol Atarol Gadol Bad Kalashano. So the Rekiba Eger quotes from Likutei Ma'aril, and he says that he heard from the Maharam Segal that the reason that Rabbi Akiva was Makabed Ashirim is Rabbi himself was wealthy, and Rabbi himself was also a big Talmud Chacham. So Rabbi didn't want to like accept kavod from people for his learning in Torah. So he felt if people become accustomed to be mechabed the ashirim, they'll be mechabed me because I'm wealthy, not because of my learning in Torah. He felt like he didn't feel comfortable that people should, honor him for his learning in Torah. That's the way he says over here. And I'll talk more a little bit more about it. In other words, there's an idea, like it says in the Mishnah Pirkei Avot, ulishtamish betaga chalaf, like a person who uses like the crown of Torah, you know, for his own benefit, like he should die. And it means like he didn't want to, you know, cash in any way. I mean, cash in loose sense, you know, like to take anything because of his learning. That's the way this pshat is going. All right, we'll see in a few minutes. Now, let me just do it till the end of the sugya, and then I'll pause and talk. So he says here, the Gemara says, Kiddarish Rava Barmari. In other words, presumably they were both Machavid Ashirim, like similar to the, based on this drasha of Rava Barmari. Rava Barmari is an Amara, but based on this idea, they were Tanaim, they lived earlier, but based on this idea, it says, Yeshev Olam Lefnei Elokim, Chesed Ve'emet Manyin Saruhu. It's a Pasuk in Tehillim by David HaMelech, in which David HaMelech says, Yeshev Olam Lefnei Elokim, like he, the king, should always sit or dwell before God, I mean about himself, Chesed Ve'emet Manyin Saruhu, that Chesed and Emes, which is kindness and truth, Manyin Saruhu. So Man, we Rashi learns Pshat in the Pasuk there, but Man is to be designated, like it says, Vayaman Hashem Kikayon, at the end of Megillas, the end of Sefer Yonah. So it says that God designated a Kikayon, a gourd that grew over Yonah. So Vayaman, in other words, it's designated for him. But the way the drasha is, Eimatai Yeshev Olam Lefnei Elokim, when will like the whole world be set up properly before God? Bizman Shechesed Ve'emet Man Yin Saruhu, when the Chesed Ve'emet Man, they learn the way the arts was saying is from the word like mana, like man, like man, but the man that you eat. He says, Chesed Ve'emet Man Yin Saruhu. In other words, when the wealthy people use their money for good purposes and they're gomel chesed, they do tzedakah, so yin saruhu, so they'll be guarded. That's the idea. So the idea is, I would say a simple pshat, that Rebbe and Rebbe Akiva were mechabed ashirim. It doesn't mean for their money, but it means that because of the good things that they did. In other words, if they were worthy people and using their money for good purposes, so they were mechabed them because, like, kind of nahara, they're like the supporters of Torah, the supporters of chesed, not per se that they have the money. Or the other pshat that you have in the Gilgul Hashas is Rebbe was mechabed ashirim because he wanted to deflect in his own life, that people shouldn't be mechabed him for his Torah. All right, let me just do till the next Mishnah, then I'll pause and I'll open up the floor for some discussion. Then the Gemara says, Rabba Bar Rav Chana Amar, so again, if the Bala Bayit, if he keeps his Kalim with the tenant, then according to the Tana Reb Yehuda, who we paskin like, that's called Tfisas Yad. It means that the tenant is not viewed so much as a tenant. In other words, the tenant is not a cheshbon for asering. In other words, like normally you have to make a ruvi chatzerot with everybody who's in the chatzer. But if the landlord, he keeps his things there, he can come and take his objects whenever he wants. So the person is a non-entity in terms of a ruvi chatzerot. So he says, what does it mean? Like a yateh shel machrei shoah, which is the he says the peg of a plow. He says. He says, even something he says not of great significance, but we'll see in a minute. So Amar Rav Nachman, Tana de Beis Shmuel. So Rav Nachman said, a brayse was told in the Beis Medrash of Shmuel, Devar Nital B'Shabbat Oser. If the object is something that the landlord could come and seize on a Shabbos, meaning we had this last night, it's not Muksa, so then that doesn't do anything, because then the landlord could come and take it out on Shabbos, and the tenant is there without the object. And so then he is Oser. He says, Davar she'eino nital b'Shabbat, eino Oser. But if the landlord keeps something that's muksa, so then the person becomes a non-entity, because you know that object's going to be there the whole Shabbos, and the landlord has a right to go in an axe is his object at any time, even though on Shabbos he's not going to move it, but that's the idea. In other words, he's got something there and he's got a sort of type of bailus on that rishus, so it doesn't count as a separate rishus. And then by extension, the Mechaber says, if it's something very heavy, we did this last night, let's say a very heavy piece of furniture, so he's not going to move it. So then it was also that. He says, Tani Nami Hachi, we learn a braisa that supports this, Yesh lo tevel, if the landlord has got tevel, which is untithed produce, that's also muksa on Shabbos, Yesh lo ashashit, or he's got the
metal bars in the apartment.
Right. The chol davar shenu nital b'shabbat inu oser. Anything that he can't move on Shabbos, that doesn't oser it. Okay, let me just summarize what we did, and then we'll move on. We'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts. So we've been focusing on the Tana Rebbe Yehuda in the last Mishnah, and he says, "Miyesham tfisat yad shabbal abayit inu oser." That if the balabas has got a tfisat yad, in other words, like the right to see something in the apartment, it means he's keeping some object of his in the apartment, so then the apartment, you know, becomes batel, legabe the dinim of a ruve chatzei road. So in terms of that din, we said it's got to be something which is muksa, that we know will be there the whole Shabbos, or by extension, the way the Mechaber learns, something very heavy that you're not likely to move, so then it would disappear. And then Agav Orcha, we brought up the idea, we mentioned about this bunyas ben bunyas. He was a landlord and he had a lot of objects in tenants' apartments. And then Agav Orcha, the Gemara brought up that Rebbe is mechabed Ashirim. Rebbe would be mechabed wealthy people. And we said the simple shot in the Gemara is mechabed them for what they do with their money, not that they have money per se. And then we gave another shot with the Gilyon HaShas that Rebbe was mechabed Ashirim because he wanted to deflect. He didn't want people to be mechabed him for his Torah because he didn't want to use the Torah to like derive kavod from people. So he felt if there will be mechabed him for his wealth, he feels that that's a little bit better way to go. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? Nothing? Nobody? Where's Yosef tonight? All right. There you are, Yosef. You're good?
Perfect.
Yes. Okay. All right. All right. Let's go further. All right. All right. All right, we're up to the next Mishnah on Pei Vav Amud Aleph, 86a, Pei Vav Amud Aleph, around 15 lines down. Okay? Okay, Ma'anitim, we learn in the Mishnah, Haminich Beito V'alach L'shbot B'ir Acheret. Now, let's say a person owns a premises in a chatzer, and there was a chatzer and there are batim that abut the chatzer, and you have to join a Rubi Chatzer with every bayit there. But let's say somebody's away for Shabbos. So what is the status of that home? So do I have to arrange something with him before he leaves, or is he gone? It's not a dira. In other words, the person's not going to be home that Shabbos. So do I have to do a Rubi Chatzer with them or not? So the Tanakhama says, Haminich Beito V'alach L'shbot B'ir Acheret. A person's leaving his house. He's going to spend Shabbos in a different city. Echad Nachri V'chad Yisrael. Harei Zeh Oser D'Vei Reb Meir. So according to Reb Meir, if it's a goy or a non-Jew, if it's a goy or a Jew, in other words, if he's a goy, you have to do schiris rishus, and you got to do it before he leaves, because otherwise he's gone, and then we'll be in trouble if we don't do that. And if he's a Jew, then I have to rank the ruve chatzer with him, because, and Rashi points out, that he learns that dira below ba'alim is shmol dira. A dira, even though it's not inhabited right now, but normally is inhabited, is still called a dira, and memela, I have to make an ruve chatzer with that dira. He says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, eino oser. Rabbi Yehuda holds punk fakared, that a dira below Baalim is not called a dira. So if it's that house is vacant for Shabbos, no harm, no foul. I don't have to worry about it. It's nothing with nothing. He says, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi agrees with Rabbi Yehuda that a dira below Baalim is not called a dira. But Rabbi Yossi says, Nachri Oser, Yisrael Eino Oser. The Nachri still Osers, even though he's vacating the house, because the Nachri could show up on Shabbos. And like the Nachri, he left. Maybe he's going to drive up on Shabbos and then he'll be back. He says, but Yisrael, Eino Oser, the Yisrael is not going to Oser. Shein Derek Yisrael, the Vobe Shabbat. Jews, they go away to another town. Most likely, I'm not going to see them that Shabbos. So Dira below Balaam is not a Dira. The only Chashash is maybe the person will show up on Shabbos. So if it's another Jew, I'm not afraid. If he's in another town, very unlikely that he's going to come up. I'm going to see him on Shabbos, so I don't have to worry about a Rubei Chatzer with him. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon is the most lenient opinion. Rabbi Shimon holds that it's that a dira below Baalim is not a dira, but even in there was the previous Tanaim we're talking about when a person's going to another town. Rabbi Shimon Omer, afilu niyach beito v'alach l'shvot eitzel beito b'otah ha'ir eino oser. Rabbi Shimon says, even if he left just to visit his daughter, in other words, in the same town. So in other words, they're in one chatzer. And he says, I'll see you guys around, have a nice Shabbos. I'm going to spend Shabbos with my daughter. She lives a quarter mile from here, or whatever. So he says, he does an aser, shekvar, he see me libo. He's already decided his mind. He's not going to be there on Shabbos. So even though he could come back on Shabbos, and he's close enough to come back on Shabbos, but the fact that he decided, he says, I'm spending Shabbos with my daughter. So that's it, genug. Nothing to worry about with him, with the daughter. Let me do three lines of the Gemara, and then we'll pause, and we'll take questions. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav halacha k'Rav Shimon. So Rav says, halacha follows Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon is Rav Shimon bar Yochai, and he's the most lenient opinion in the Mishnah, that if you're gone, doesn't matter. And even if you're gone, you're not so far away, where you could show up, but since you said you're going to be gone for Shabbos, so you're gone. He says, v'dafka bito. But he says, it's only if the person says, I'm going to visit my daughter. He says, aval b'no lo. But if he's going to visit the son, not. Now, the Gemara takes it that an in-law, like this person, could have difficult with his daughter-in-law. But the son-in-law, in other words, we'll see in a minute. In other words, like when he visits the daughter, so he might have some rough edges with the son-in-law, but nothing to cause him to leave the premises. Because like the daughter, we'll see in a minute, like the daughter, she'll like, unruffle the feathers and calm down the situation. But if he's visiting his son, I wouldn't say that he's not going to be back on Shabbos. He says, da amri inshi, because people say, nevach bach kalba ul. If the dog, the male dog, well, I don't know, is Ed here tonight? Ed, there you are. Ed, I want to hear something from you on the veterinarian look. He says, if a male dog barks, so come in, enter the premises. And the male dog here would be the son-in-law. He says, navach ba guryata, if the female dog barks, that would be the daughter-in-law. He says, puk, get going. So the idea is that, like, it's an interesting insight, and maybe, I don't know, I'll hear from all of you, on in-laws, and saying that the more difficult in-law relationship is with a daughter-in-law than with the son-in-law. In other words, the daughter-in-law is a more, rougher situation, if I could use it, rougher.
Not rougher, delicate is the word.
All right, delicate, whatever. All right, let me just read a few lines from here, and then we'll go on. So, all right, he asks about Tfusis Yad, but he has here, okay. So he says, Rav distinguishes between one who visits his married son for Shabbos and one who visits his daughter. He says that when one goes to visit his daughter, we may assume that he will spend the entire Shabbos there. We do not suspect that he will get involved in a quarrel with his son-in-law, causing him to return home on Shabbos. The Meiri explains that even if he quarrels with his son-in-law, his daughter will prevail upon her husband to make peace with her father because she wants her father to remain at her house. That's the way the Meiri explains it. So your daughter,
so the son is weak because he can't do the same for the daughter-in-law.
No, it means the women are stronger. That's what it means, Fern. The women are strong. Okay, now.
No, the son wouldn't touch.
All right. Now, however, when visiting one's son in the same city, we must consider the possibility that he may be compelled to return home on Shabbos due to a quarrel with his daughter-in-law. The Gemara says that a feud with one's daughter-in-law is more likely or is generally more intense than a feud with one's son-in-law. I'm interested to hear feedback from all of you. The Ritva indicates that this halacha is not limited to a daughter-in-law, but applies to strangers as well. When visiting anyone but a married daughter, we must consider the possibility that one will be tempted to return home on Shabbos due to a quarrel and contribution to the Erev is required. So the Ritva, and so again, the Mishnah, it quotes the opinion of the Tana Reb Shimon. And Reb Shimon talks about what if you're going away for Shabbos not so far away. You're going away for Shabbos, 10 blocks away. So is that, and Dira below Baalim is not called a Dira. But do I have to take into account you may come back? So he says that if he went to visit the daughter, goodbye, Litra Ode. So the Gemara says, yeah, you visit the daughter, you visit the son, we may see you back again. So the Ritva says, if you're visiting anyone but a married daughter, you may feel, I'm out of this place, goodbye, I'll see you back home. Now the Be'er Halacha maintains that Rav requires one who visits his daughter-in-law to contribute to his Chatzis Eruv only if he doesn't expressly state that he intends to remain away for the entire Shabbos. However, if one states his intent to remain away for the entire Shabbos, we not suspect that he will return home on Shabbos. He wants to say that if you say, I'm going away for the whole Shabbos, even if you're going to visit your son and daughter-in-law, then you're gone. In other words, like, it's only like, you know, you didn't say you went, we assume you're gone. So you're visiting the son, you know, you may come back. But if you said, I'm going to wait for the whole Shabbos, then that's it. Okay, who's your questions, comments to us on anything we said?
What would Rav Shimon hold for a goy?
So the Mishnah doesn't tell us, well, I mean, the Mishnah doesn't, he doesn't, he doesn't tell us anything about how Rav Shimon would hold by the non-Jew. So I assume that Rav Shimon would agree with the previous Tana that with a non-Jew, I'd have to be choshesh that he'd show up on Shabbos. I assume that, but I don't know. Let me see. Does he say anything here? Let's take a look. 1920. Yeah, so if you look in footnote 21 in the art scroll, Rav Shimon's view regarding Epstein idolater is not known. Thus, Rav's ruling remains ambiguous on one of the cases of our Mishnah. The Rambam rules in accordance with Rabbi Yossi that as long as possible, Rav Shimon restricts. The Rush and the Rashba rule with Rabbi Yehuda that he does not restrict. Shulchan Aruch cites both rulings. The Rambam accepts the latter and more lenient view. So it's a machloket poskim, which way we go with the Goyim, Yosef. That's the best I got.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Not landlord and tenant, but what happens if you have a boarder in the house? We had a boarder in the house.
Yeah, so a boarder, I mean, that really isn't, a boarder is, are they paying money or not paying money?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, so that's really a tenant. In other words, it's maybe it's not like, that's a tenant. That's a tenant. All right? Okay. Any other questions, comments, thoughts? Any thoughts about the in-laws and the sons-in-law, daughters-in-law? Anybody want to give from personal life experience?
Personal life experience. I have the best son-in-laws.
All right. All right. That's good. But the Gemara says that the daughter-in-law is the rough one. So
she lives far away.
All right.
The best daughter-in-law.
All right. Okay. All right, let's go on. Okay, that's okay. Now the next piece of the Gemara. All right, I'm going on to the next mission. Everybody's going to mute themselves. Okay, well, let me mute and help you all out. Okay, you're muted. Okay, let me get a screen sharing situation. Is it? No, that's not it. That's my. 1 second. Give me 1 second. Okay. All right. Let me get our picture up. Okay, not this picture. All right, here we go. All right, so let's see the next Mishnah. So Bor Shemin Shtei Chatzei wrote. So again, here we have our Chatzer situation. Here's Chatzer Aleph, Chatzer Beis, and there's a wall between the two. So Chatzer Aleph, they made a Rubi Chatzer, and Chatzer Beit made a Rubi Chatzer, but Aleph and Beis did not make an Rubi Chatzer with each other. So they can't carry from one Chatzer to the other Chatzer. You know, they can't, or things that rested in the house on Shabbos, they can't bring it to one or the other. But as luck would have it, there's a bore, there's a pit directly between the two Chatzerot, or shared by the Chatzerot, and the wall goes directly above the pit. And the question is, can the people in one Chatzer or another Chatzer take water from the pit? And the issue is the water, like for mishes, the water is all, you know, floating here, there, and the other place. So let's take a look. So
we've had this before.
Yeah, well, now you have the Ikar place. Before, I think you had it on Gavorcha. Now you have this is the main place. So Manitin Bor Shemin Shtei Chatzerot Imam Ali Minu B'Shabbat, you can't fill from the pit on Shabbos. Elam Kein Asu Lo Mechitza Gavoa Saret Tfachim Beim Milamata. Now, there's going to be a whole machloket in the Gemara what this means, but simply the words mean that I have, in addition to the wall, I have to make another partition, and one partition may be a little bit lower, one partition may be higher. Where those two partitions are is going to be a big machloket. So, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Beit Shammai Omrim Milamata. So, according to Beit Shammai, holds that the partition has to be below. We'll see what's going on with this. Uvehilo Mri Milamala. Beit Hillel holds it could be below, but it could also be Milamala. and we'll see where that is. He says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda lo tei mechitza gedolah min hakotel shebeinayim. Rabbi Yehuda says, look, any mechitza can't be more significant than the kotel they have between them. So this kotel is enough. They don't have to, once they have this kotel, they don't need any additional partitions. So it comes out, and we're going to try to figure this out, that it's the halacha that the Tanakhama says is really following Beit Hillel. Beit Hillel says you have to have a partition, and the partition got to be lower down, or the partition could be higher up. That's in addition to the wall between the two chatzerot in order to permit everybody to take water from the boar on Shabbos. Okay, any questions on the Mishnah so far? What's up?
Remember we had this with metal, barzel, and it was reeds or barzel.
Well, that may have come up. 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 Okay, let's take a look. All right, let's see back on the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna. Now we're going to have two pshatim. So the issue is Machloka Beit Hillel Beit Shammai. One holds Beit Shammai has the partition has to be Lamata. And Beit Hillel holds it could be Lamata, but it could even be Lamala. So what does Lamata and what does Lamala mean? So there's going to be Machloka between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda. Rav Huna is going to say that Lamata and Lamala mean, here, if you look in this picture. So everybody see the picture? Here's the water. Here's the boar. So according to Rav Huna, Lamata is going to be like from the surface of the water going up. And Lamala is going to be like, you know, higher than the surface of the water, but like, you know, just within the top of the cavity. That'll be Lamala. That's according to the first pshat. And the second pshat will vary it a little as we go. Lamata means that the partition's at the base of the pit in the water. And Lamala... And there's different pshatim here, as you can see. The mala is going to be above, but dipping into the water a little bit. Okay, everybody got that so far? Okay, so the Gemara says, so Amar Rav Huna, Lamata, Lamata Mamish. So Rav Huna says, Lamata means Lamata Mamish, but he's talking about the cavity of the pit. In other words, but it's up, in other words, one is learning Lamala Lamata from the perspective of the boar, and one is learning Lamala Lamata from the perspective of the water. Yeah, one second.
I'm having trouble understanding the concept.
All right, we hardly began, Ruth, so just wait.
No, I'm talking about the diagrams.
Okay, I'll explain in a minute. Okay, so, all right. So here's the pit, Ruth. You see the pit?
I do.
Okay. This is the surface of the water.
Right.
Now, this pit is between two chatzerot.
Right.
On top there's a wall.
Right.
Now we're talking about the area between the wall and the water.
Correct.
Beneath there. So one is saying that I need an additional partition going from the top of the water up 10 tefachim. And one is saying that the partition can even be lifted off from the face of the water, you know, higher than that.
What would be the function of that?
It's going to be like a sign, a recognition, a reminder to people that they can only take water from their side of the chatzer. Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then the other, so one is going to be, this is Beit Shammai, and this will be Beit Hillel, according to Rav Huna. Then according to Rav Yehuda, he says no, that the partition has to be, and we'll see, down to the base of the pit, or it's above, but touching the water. Okay, we'll see in a minute. Okay, let's see in the Gemara. So Amar Rav Huna, is saying Lamata is like from the perspective of the boar, from the pit. So he says, Amar Rav Huna, Lamata, Lamata Mamash. It means like below, but below going to the surface of the water. Lamala, Lamala Mamash. Lamala means like it's higher up in the pit. He says, Vizeh, Vizeh, Babor. They're each talking about the boar, and it was not where the water is, but... You know, here you see another picture where the partition is above the water. Everybody see? Okay. So again, so the purpose of the partition then would just be a sign to everybody that they're only a reminder that they can only take water from their side of the mechitza. That'll be the purpose of the partition.
What about right? Gimel?
Okay, please listen, Ruth, my dearest, I love hearing from you, but you have to just wait and be patient. Okay, so I'm gonna mute you now for a few minutes and then you take a notebook out and write down all your questions, and I'll get to you in a few minutes, okay? Okay, so the Gemara says, Rav Yehuda Amar, Rav Yehuda says, Lamata, Lamata, Minamayim. Rav Yehuda says, it's from the person, when we say Lamata, we're talking about vis-a-vis the water. So Lamata means like down here, going to the base of the pit. He says, which where the water is, Lamala, Lamala Minamayim. And Lamala means going up above the water, but still dipping into the water a little bit. So Amalei Rababar Rav Chanan Labaye, Hademar Rav Yehuda Lamata, Lamata Minamayim. So now we're going to compare. So again, here we have Rav Huna's shot, these two. And again, one is Beit Shammai, one's Beit Hillel. So Beit Shammai holds the lower one. Beit Hillel agrees with the lower one, holds also the higher one. And here we also have, this is Rabbi Yehuda's version of Beit Hillel, Beit Shammai. So Beit Shammai holds like this where the hay is, and Beit Hillel holds where the vav is, okay? And this one, all right, we'll see in a minute. In other words, this is the way we think initially, but all right, 1 minute. So the Gemara says, so Amarli Rababar Rav Chanan Labaye, Hademar Rav Yehuda Lamata Lamata Minamayim. When Rav Yehuda says Lamata Lamata Minamayim, Maishna Lamata Mamash Delo, why, according to Rav Yehuda, this is what Lamata means down here. So he rejects this Lamata, which is Rav Huna's Lamata. This is Rav Yehuda's Lamata. So we're focusing on here, I guess, this one here and this one here. So he says, so why is it that he rejects this? Why is this Lamata? So this is Lamata, this is Lamala according to Rav Huna. And this is Lamata according to Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara says, Hadamar Rav Yehuda Lamata, Lamata Minamayim, Mashna Lamata Mamash Delo. Why is this one, according to Rav Yehuda, not what is Lamata? What's wrong with that? He says, Darive Maya, Darive Maya. So because the water, you know, was here, it's a nice symbolic barrier, but the water is going to get all permished underneath. So he says here, Lamata Minamayim Nami Harive Maya. So, but even if he puts the mechitza here, so the water is also going to get permished. So what is he accomplishing by putting the mechitza at the base of the pit? So he says, Amar Lei, Lo Shmilach Hadamar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. And again, so didn't you hear what Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav? Umatu Bamishum Rabbi Chiya. And others say that it was the name of Rabbi Chiya. Sirich Shiru Rashan Shal Kanam Lamala Minamayim Tefach. That this is not what he says. He says, in other words, it's not like here where it's underneath the water going up 10 tefachim. It's underneath the water, and then it goes up above the water 1 tefach. So according, again, this is within Rabbi Yehuda, what the Shita Beit Shammai is, there's a barrier, and in Achinami, it's not a hermetically sealed barrier, but there's a clear barrier between the two chatzerot. So I know the water I'm taking is only from my side of the chatzer. In other words, it's not just symbolic. It's going to make sure that I'm only taking water from my side of the chatzer. So then the Gemara says v'tu, and then we have another question, and then there's 6 lines from the bottom. Hadiyamar Rav Yehuda Lamala Lamala Menamayim. Again, within Rav Yehuda, Lamala is Lamala Menamayim, like where this vav is. We'll see in a minute. So he says, Maishna Lamala Mamash Delo. Why does he not like this Lamala, which is Rav Huna's? He says, Mestama is Da'arivimaya, because here the water gets all permished, and so this doesn't do anything for me. So Lamala Menamayim Nami Ha'arivimaya. So the Gemara says, the Gemara doesn't know it's sticking in the water yet. The Gemara thinks it's like totally here, like the Gemara thinks more like this. So it's also getting permished. So this is Amar Lei Lo Shmilach Hadatani Yaakov Karchi Na'a Srishishka Rashi Kanim B'mayim Tefach, that the edge of the pole or the reed has to stick 1 tefach in the water. Okay, let's just pause for 1 second, and then we'll try to take care of Ruth. Okay, so and everybody else who's got questions. So the idea is that when I have 2 chatzerot and they share this bore, so I need an additional mechitza for the bore, because I need at least a heker that I'm not allowed to take water from the other side. But according to Beit Shammai, it sounds like I need more than a heker. I need something like a barrier that I'm not going to take water from the other side. So we know from the Mishnah that Beit Shammai holds lower down, and Beit Hillel holds could be lower down, it could be higher up. So what does lower down mean, and what does higher up mean? So Rav Huna says lower down means like this. It's like, you know, just on top of the water, and higher up means like this. And the idea is, it's just a symbolic heker, a reminder to me to take water from my side of the chatzer. It's like a sign. Remember, take water from this side of the chatzer. But according to Rav Yehuda, that's not the correct shot in the Mishnah. The correct shot in the Mishnah is in the Maskana, that Beit Shammai holds like this hay, where I have a barrier which is going down through the water. So now I definitely can take water from the other side. Or there's a barrier which dips into the water, but also sort of like is like, you know, blocking me from taking water from the other side. Okay, so all right. Now, Ruth, are you okay now? You got questions? Well, who's got questions now? Let me hear. Ruth, now it's time to shine. Unmute.
Second. Okay, my question is with Gimel. The barrier there, which you say is symbolic, has to be visible.
Again, the Gemara rejected Gimel. The Gemara rejected Gimel.
It's obvious.
We thought in the Havamina maybe he means Gimel. The Gemara says, what is Gimel going to accomplish?
Exactly.
So the Gimel is really the hay. The Gimel is really the hay. Okay.
Okay. And one more question. What are the actual supports for the others, the supports?
Well, I don't understand the question.
Looking at Aleph and Beis, the vertical boards have to be supported.
Oh, you mean. So maybe he attaches it to the walls of the bore. Maybe he attaches it to the bottom of this wall. I don't know. Okay. All right. Any other questions? All right. So I'm going to move on. So now we're three lines from the bottom on Pei Vav Amud Aleph, on 86A, three lines from the bottom. All right, now the Gemara is going to ask, so again, the basic machloket we have is between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda. Rav Huna takes it that the machitza is sort of like more symbolic, you know, to remind me not to take water on the other side. And Rav Yehuda is more, it's actually blocking me, you know, more concrete, blocking me from taking water on the other side. So now the Gemara is going to ask questions against Rav Yehuda. Now the Gemara is going to cite two halachot, but the question's from the second halacha. In other words, like the first halacha is like a red herring. The second halacha is the question, okay? So the Gemara says, V'yelohadamar Rav Yehuda, kora arba matur b'churba. So Rav Yehuda says, if I have a kora, here's a churba, like a wrecked building, but there happens to be like a post here. And then I have this wooden, I don't know, board, which is four tefachim wide. You see the wooden board's four tefachim wide. So he says, that permits me to carry underneath the board. In other words, we're going to say that the edges of the board, good achit mechitzda. You see here it says pitikra. You see the arrow, and obviously the arrow with the dotted line here. So it like goes down, and then it creates a wall. Okay, now. Here's halacha nid though. Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Boravua. Rav Nachman says in Rav Boravua, turn page, the top line, Pei Vav Amud Beis, Korah Arba'a Materet B'mayim. He says that a Korah Arba'a is Materet B'mayim. Let me see if I have a picture for this. Yeah. All right, here's the picture. If let's say, again, here, like I have this well, it's shared by two chatzerot. If I have this plank that's over, in other words, there's a wall between the two chatzeret as well. But in addition to which, instead of having the partition we described up to now, I have a plank that goes across it, and the plank is four tefachim in width. He says korah bar materet b'mayim, that permits each side to take water from its side of the korah, from its side of the korah. So the Gemara says haka'azli dli le'idakisa. Umaiti. Now, according to Rav Huna, the division that I need is just symbolic. It's just a reminder that I should only take from my side of the water. So I understand how a korah could also be a type of divider, and I view it like the two, in other words, that the edges come down, and now I know that's how far I could go. But he says, but according to Rav Yehuda, the barrier has to be like a barrier blocking me from using the other side. So the Gemara says, how could this korah work according to Rabbi Yehuda's pshat? He says, haka'azli dli le'idakisa, the bucket is going to go to the other side. And here you see the person's got the bucket. He throws it into the pit. Here's the korah above it. And the bucket could end up at the other side. So the Gemara says, and this is within Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda would say, kimlu rabbanan din dli mahalak yoter mi'arba'at tefachim, that the Chachamim established that a bucket doesn't go more than four tefachim. So if I have this over here, the bucket is not going to go to the other side. So the Gemara says, but tachat korah mi'eha rive maya. So, but underneath the korah, though, the water is like all from mishing here and there in the other place. So nevertheless, we see that that ostensibly is permissible. So the Gemara says, now here, there's different ways to read this Gemara. I'm going to read the Gemara the way we have it, which is the way Rashi has it. And we have the word Ella. Ella means we're rejecting what came before. So the way Rashi understands it, the Gemara is now rejecting Rav Yehuda's pshat in the Mishnah. We're rejecting this and adopting Rav Huna. So Ella, like delete what came before. So Ella, where is it? Ella mishum de kalhu she kilu chachamim b'mayim. In other words, you're right. The water does get mixed up underneath, but there's a kula that the chachamim had when it came to water and partitions, and because of that kula, they let you take the water, even though the water gets vermished underneath. And again, if you look at Rashi, let's see the Rashi on the third wide line. So Rav Yehuda is out the door. We don't hold from Rav Yehuda, the way Rashi's learning. He says, rather, we hold like Rav Huna, that the mechitza is just a symbolic mechitza. He says, the Beit Hillel, Lamala Mamash Ka'amri, and Beit Hillel says, Lamala means like that, you know, it's above the water. He says, Haki Garcin El Kalhu Hule. So let me just do four more lines and I'll pause. He says, Elamishum, back in the Gemara, the fourth line from the top, Elamishum de Kalhu Shekilu Chachamimayim, Kidabaimine Rabbi Tavlo Me Rav, like Rabbi Tavlo posed the philosophy to Rav, Mechitza Tluya Mao Shetatir Bechurva. They have a Mechitza Tluya, a Mechitza which is hanging in the air. Let me see if he's got a picture with it here. A picture? No. He doesn't have a picture here, but anyway, mechitza tluya means that you have a churva and the mechitza doesn't go all the way to the ground. In other words, I have a churva and the mechitza doesn't go all the way to the ground. So is that good? So Amar Lei, ein mechitza tluya matera l'bamayim, kalushi kilu chachamim b'mayim. He says, no, a mechitza tluya is only good by water. It means like this. If I'm making a mechitza, and there's more than three tefachim on the ground. So the Gemara calls it, if the gedayim are boking bow, if the kids could break through, the animal kids could break through, it's not a mechitza. So if I have a mechitza tluya, mechitza is hanging in the air, and there's space underneath it, that's a zero. Except when it comes to water. When it comes to water, and this we had previously, but I'm sure you remember we had yesterday's daf. Here, let me go. 1 minute. Here with the balcony. You see here with the sleeve. Everybody see the sleeve here? So the water is a carmelite, but with the sleeve, and even though there's a space between the water and the sleeve, if there's 10 tefachim here, I'm going to say good achit mechitza, that I'm going to view it as going down. So I only do that by water. By water, I say good achit mechitza, but on land, I would not say something like that. That's a kula, a leniency that the Chachamim use when it comes to helping people get, you know, water. And when there's underlying, the only prohibition is a rabbinic prohibition underneath. So kalushu kilu chachamim b'mayim. So in the same way, the way Rashi's learning Pshat in the Gemara, that when it comes to this well that's between the two, so if we can adopt the Rav Huna's version of the Machloket, where the mechitza is just above the water, and that's going to be adequate. That's going to be adequate. Now, let me just, there's a blurb here in the art scroll I want to read to. And then if you look in footnote 4 in the art scroll, he says, other Rishonim hold the conclusion of Gemara does not reject Rav Yehuda's opinion. Accordingly, they delete the word Ella because not a retraction. Rush explains partitions formed by the edges of the beam are superior to regular suspended partition and are permitted in this case. He wants to say, this is the alternative shot. He wants to say that when you have this like this beam, like four tefachim, and we had it over the water also somewhere here. Yeah, like over here, that the partitions created by this are superior to the partitions created just by like a thin partition in the water. So that works. However, regular partition must physically separate the water surface, according to Rav Yehuda. He says, and he quotes from Rabbeinu Chananel Tosfos, excuse me, then he says, period. Then he says, Rabbeinu Chananel Tosfos offer other explanations which have hold Rabbi Yehuda. So even though Rashi says we don't hold from Rabbi Yehuda, a lot of Rishonim say we do hold from Rabbi Yehuda, and they take out the word Ella, and they explain that there's a different you know, principle working here with this board. All right, but if we stick with Rashi, the idea is we're closing back from Rav Yehuda. We're going with Rav Huna. That's just a symbolic division. And there's more, a lot of coolers when it comes to water. Okay, let me take questions. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far?
Didn't we just say that the hanging mechitza also works for a chorba?
So the Gemara said that with the
korah,
right? With the korah, that's what the Gemara said. We don't hold that way lahalacha. We don't hold that way lahalacha. In other words,
how would Rashi explain that? If we go based on Rashi's explanation that the hanging is only
no. Rashi's very easy. Rashi holds that. In other words, mechitza tluya is really what you're asking. So mechitza tluya is never good unless it's with water. That's the only time mechitza tluya is good, is with water.
Okay, so what's that? What is that? What's that line about the korah that's arba amot? That we just had on the bottom of the last page.
So there was an opinion in the Gemara that said this is good, that it creates partitions.
Isn't this like a hanging mechitza?
This is even less than a hanging mechitza, because there's no even mechitza. It's pi tikra yorid besotem. So sometimes we say pi tikra yorid besotem, but I don't think we say it in this case la halacha with both sides. It was pi tikra yorid besotem would be the right. That's using the idea of good achis. So I don't think we would use this. Okay. All right. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay, let me go on. All right, let me stop with you with this. All right, let's take the next piece of the Gemara. So we're 8 lines from the top on Pei Vav Amud Beis, 86b. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Lo Tei Mechitza. Now, it's also true, we heard Rabbi Yehuda, this is Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is the Tana, Rabbi Yehuda is the Amar. Now we're back to the Tana. In the Mishnah, the Tana, Rabbi Yehuda, let me go back to the picture book. So if we look back in the picture book, like there already is a wall between the mechitzot, and then the Tanaim and the Mishnah talking about an additional partition below the wall. So, but the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says this partition is enough. This partition is everything. I don't need additional partitions. So I'm Rabbi Yehuda Lotei Mechitza. So I'm a Rabba. I'm Rabba Bar Bachana. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yehuda Beshitat Rabbi Yossi Amara. So Rabbi Yehuda here in our Mishnah, he follows the sheet of another Tana Rabbi Yossi. The Amar. Mechitza Teluya Materet Afilu Bayabasha. So Rabbi Yossi holds that Mechitza Teluya, which is the Mechitza which doesn't reach all the way to the ground, is not just good over water, it's good over dry land as well. Didnan, because we learn in the Mishnah, HaMishal Shal Defanot Milaman Lamata. And the way to think of it like a canvas sukkah with like the poles, and you're lowering, let's say, the walls on the canvas sukkah, but you're doing it, you're lowering it from the roof to the floor. He says, "Bisman shikvot min ha'aretz shlosha tefachim psula." So if I lower it and I leave 3 tefachim, it never gets down to the ground floor. It's like this 3 tefachim space at the bottom. He says that's psula because that's the gedayim or bokim bo. The kids could break through there. He says, "Mimata lamala." But if I'm building up the wall from the bottom up, let me see if he's got any pictures here. Yeah. Okay. So here is 76. Here it looks like a little sukkah, doesn't it? So let's say here are the walls, but it's 3 tefachim from the ground. And here you see the gedi. Here's the kid breaking through it. So that's not a good mechitza. But if I build it like this and it's 10 tefachim from the ground, then I'll say good asik mechitza. In other words, like the wall can go up, but the wall can't go down. So the Gemara says, yeah, he says mimat lamalim gvod asar tefachim shera. Rabbi Yossi Omer, but the Tana Rabbi Yossi, which is the one we want to focus on because who we're looking for, Rabbi Yossi Omer shem shem mimat lamala asara. Just like here, if I build it up, it goes up 10 tefachim. I can like put the arrows here and it closes the gap. He says kach mimal lamata asara. So too, if I'm going from the top to the bottom and I have 10 tefachim, you see it's 10 tefachim, that also works. So according to the Tana Rabbi Yossi, this would be good. This would be good, according to Tana Kamanat. So we think that the Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, who said that this partition is fine, we think that that lines up with Rabbi Yossi, who says that this partition is fine. That's what we think. So the Gemara says, Velohi, it's not necessarily true. Lo Rabbi Yehuda Sabla Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda may not hold from Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi sabar like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi may not hold like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda lo sabar like Rabbi Yossi. Ad kan lo kama Rabbi Yehuda el be ruve chatzero derabanan. Rabbi Yehuda says this mechitza in the middle that goes over the pit, yeah, that's a fine mechitza and it works for the water. But what is he talking about? He's talking about by Ruve Chatzerot, where the underlying prohibitions are all derabanan, clearly, because on a deraisa level, it's all one big rishus hayachid. He says, "Aval sukkah deraita lo," but by a sukkah, which is a mitzvah to say deraisa, he might not say it's good. So Rabbi Yehuda could subscribe that this thing number 76 is bad. He says, "Velo Rabbi Yossi savar like Rabbi Yehuda," and Rabbi Yossi, who holds that this is good, may not subscribe to Rabbi Yehuda. He says, "Ad kan lo kama Rabbi Yossi el b'sukkah de Easter esehu." He holds by the sukkah it's a good mechitzot. It's in other words, if he doesn't fulfill the mitzvah sukkah, he only violates an Easter esse. He's mevatel an esse. Aval Shabbat de Easter skiluhu. But by Shabbos, if I violate Shabbos on a deraisa level, it's an Easter skila. Lo amar. Maybe he didn't say it over there. So even though we were speaking about where here that this was derabanan and it is derabanan, but it means the underlying prohibitions of Hotzah and Shabbos are Torah prohibitions in the world, you know, like conceptually. So there he would say that maybe that's not good. Okay, now, all right, dude, let me pause for a second. Who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything I did so far? Everybody good? Okay. All right, let me go on. All right. So now the Gemara says, V'im Tomar. So if you, so now we said that, when it comes to Rabbi Yossi holds, so again, Rabbi Yossi holds that here, that this sukkah is good, but by Hilchot Shabbos he may not hold because it's an Easter. Here's just an Easter essay, but by where there's the Easter skila involved, underlying prohibition, he wouldn't hold from that. So the Gemara says, "V'im tomor otomasa shenasi b'tzipuri alpi minasa." So there was an incident which the Gemara is going to describe that took place in Tzipuri. Tzipuri is a town in the north in the Galilee and Eretz Israel where a lot of the Chachmei Talmud lived. And remember, like I've quoted this in the past, you may remember yourself. It says, like, remember in Shabbos, which we did not too long ago, "Lomi hei chalkimi mi mekabli Shabbos b'Tiveria, motzi Shabbat b'Tzipuri." May mechelik be among those people who accept Shabbos in Tiveria, and leave Shabbos in Tzipuri, because Tiveria is in the valley, and they were mekabli Shabbos earlier. When there's different ways to touch up that sugya, but the sun looks like it's going below the tops of the hills, so they accept Shabbos earlier. And in Tzipuri, it looks like the sunset is later, and so they have a longer Shabbos. Anyway, so he says, as an incident took place in Tzipuri, Alpi Minasa. So Rabbi Yossi was the posek in Tzipuri, and the Gemara is going to describe the carried a sefer Torah to Shul with these mechitzot. And we, here's the mechitzot. Here's the picture. Okay, so they carried it through using like these mechitzot where it's on top of poles, but there's a space at the bottom of the pole. So he says here, so the Gemara says, "Lo al pi Rabbi Yossi," and where's the gimel? "Lo al pi Rabbi Yossi nasa, ella al pi Rabbi Shmuel bi Rabbi Yossi nasa." That was his son. His son was the one who gave the heter for it, not Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi wouldn't hold from it. He says, "The chiyat Rav Dimi," because when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Israel, Amar, he said, "Pamachad, there was one incident where they forgot to bring, apparently the Sefer Torah they held in a different house, a different structure, and here's the shul, and they have to carry it from this. I don't know where the house is that they're carrying it from, but they have to, maybe this is the house and here's the shul, and they're carrying it there. So they had to, you know, bring the Sefer Torah on Shabbos." He says, "Well, if you say for Torah, we would yom." They didn't bring it on Friday. "Lamachar parsu sadin alamudim, if you say for Torah." So the next day, they spread sheets on these amudim, on these pillars, and they carried the Sefer Torah. Now, they're carrying the Sefer Torah through a chatzer, but since the other people in the chatzer, they don't have an entrance or an egress here, so that's okay. And it could be, I was bothered by who owns this other structure. The other structure may have been, you know, owned by the shul, or that makes it a little bit easier. or Rabbi Packer thought nobody's living in the other structure. So he carried the Sefer Torah here. So he says, Vikarubo, so and they lain from it. So the point is, though, that they relied on a mechitza that had space on the bottom. And we said, according to Rabbi Yossi, he may not hold from that. So if he doesn't hold from it, and he's the Rav in Sipori, so what's going on? So he said, no, it was his son Paskin that way. Rabbi Yossi didn't do it that way. So the Gemara says, Parsu l'chachil mishari, are you allowed to spread, you know, these sheets to create a mechitza on Shabbos? He says, V'ha kol modim sheino sin ola rai b'Shabbat. Everybody agrees you're not allowed to make a temporary tent on Shabbos, right? It's like opening up a like an umbrella, right? So I can't make an ola rai on Shabbos, and I presumably I can't make a mechitza rai either. Ela matzu sedinim prusim al hamudim. So the fact was they didn't spread it on Shabbos. This is the way they found it this way. So it had been spread before Shabbos. We've used Sefer Torah v'karubo. And they brought the Sefer Torah they read from it. So, but that's not a stira because that wasn't Rabbi Yossi. That was Rabbi Yossi's son. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on this story?
Well, that's not what it said. It said that they made it on Shabbat. They made it the next day.
The Gemara is revising it. In other words, the Gemara thought they made it on Shabbos. The Gemara says, no, they didn't make it on Shabbos. It had been set up before Shabbos. All right? Okay. Now, I'm moving on to resetting questions. So now, I'm a rabbi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Chanan ben Akavya, Amru Davar Echad. So we said the Tana Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah says, if I have to, what happened?
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. So we said that I'm a rabbi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Chanan ben Akavya, Amru Davar Echad, that the Tana Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah who said that they have this big wall and everybody can, you know, they have a lenient ruling concerning water, then just the wall above the water, you know, and not any different additional partitions enough. So he and Rabbi Chanan ben Akavya are on the same page. So he says, Rabbi Yehuda Adamran, Rabbi Yehuda, we said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Chanan ben Akavya, the Tanya, it should be. We learned the Braisa. Rabbi Chanan ben Akavya, you know, it sounds like Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha, we say when for a Kaddish, but Rabbi Chanan ben Akavya, Omer, Zustra Sheishbo, Arba Amot, Arba Amot. Let's say they have, oh, well, he sort of has it, but all right. There's like a balcony, the balcony again, and it has, there's, he doesn't have the picture that I would like it to have, but there's a balcony that goes out on the water. And this is the aerial view of the balcony. And then there's a hole in the balcony, which measures 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim. So normally we said before that the kula with the water, the mainstream thinking, which is the halach lemaisa, is that if you have a sleeve underneath it, then that's what permits it. Remember we had, one second here. Okay, here's the balcony. So we say normally you have to have the sleeve, and the sleeve is 4 tefachim by 4 by 10 tefachim. Then you can pull water. So Rabbi Chanan ben Akavya, he's got a greater kula. He says if I just have a hole in the floor, which is 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, that's enough to permit me. Why is that enough to permit me? Because theoretically, I could view it. Let me get this here. Yeah, I could view it like that I'm folding things up. In other words, like, so there's 4 by 4, which is opening here, but I'm going to view the other sides of the patio as if, you know, like I'm going to like bend it and fold it like this and create an imaginary sleeve. Here's the imaginary sleeve. Do you see it? So he has a further cooler. Instead of actually cutting the hole and making the sleeve, I can cut the hole, and then if there's enough wood here, I'll imagine the sleeve, and the sleeve will be 10 tefachim down. Okay.
Why couldn't you put an imaginary sheet across those mechitzot the same way you go up and down for?
Yeah. Again, this he's learning here. He's learning the special kula by water. Water. Think water. The special kula by water. Okay. Okay. Let's take a look now. Now let's take a look back on the Gemara. So two lines to the bottom. The Tani Rikhanai Kavi Meir, Zustra Sheshba Arba Amot Arba Mot. If the patio is 4 amot by 4 amot, right? So we got 4 amot by 4 amot. He says, on the top line of Pezayin Amun Aleph, and I got to wrap it up because I got to go late Mariam. So Chokek Ba or Bal or Ba, a person can cut a hole four tefachim by four tefachim umamale, and then fill it with water. So we think that those two opinions are on the same page. Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah and Rabbi Chanan ben Akavya. So Amrli Abaye. So Abaye said to Rabbah's the one who said this, right? So yeah, Amrli Abaye b'dilma lohi. Maybe it's not true, not necessarily true. Ad kan lo kama Rabbi Yehuda hatam el da amar good achit mechitzta. He says Rabbi Yehuda with the wall over the pit. Yeah, he says one idea could a good achit mechitzta. I'll say that the mechitzta goes down into the water and breaks it apart. About kof the good low, but to say this whole erector set deal, he doesn't hold by that whole thing. That's a greater chiddush. He says va'ad kan lo kama Rabbi Chananim in a kavya hatam. Rabbi Chananim in a kavya, he's got this whole thing with the erector set. El biyama shel tiberia. That was only a kula. He said biyama shel tiberia. Here in the Sea of Galilee, and here you see the picture of the Sea of Galilee, he says, Hoil Biyeshla Ogdin Vayarot Vikarpipot Makifotota. It has all these like partitions around the sea. In other words, and the Sea of Galilee goes all the way on 360 degrees. So it's surrounded by partitions all around. He says, Aval Bashar Mimot, lo. But by other waters, he may not have said it. In other words, in Akinami, the sea is a Carmelite and the sea is a Carmelite, but there's a difference between the Carmelite, which is surrounded by partitions, and one that's not surrounded by partitions. So all of this kula might be over water, but water that's like surrounded by partitions. Okay, listen, I got to say goodbye soon. Quick time for a very quick question, then I got to go. Any questions?
Do you review this tomorrow?
I don't know. Maybe. I want you review Maybe. It and you review it and give us a review when I begin tomorrow. Okay. Okay. Believe that, or I'll try to review it tomorrow. Okay.
All right.
I'll try to review for you tomorrow. Okay. Okay. Let's. Okay. I'll see you. Bye. Bye, everybody. Let me end.
Thank you. Bye.
Let me end the recording. Okay.